Steve did a wonderful recording, but like I said, he sounds like a real professional journalist. So I'm really sad that you can't get to listen to his voice. But again, I'm sorry. Back to that slide. So his title is Facts and Fallacy and the Future of Good Agricultural Practices. We have so many terms coming up, you know, and there are so many and sometimes confusing. So how do we better target solutions to help farmers improve their condition? Now, we have several terms like seeds, conservation, fertility, good production, gap yield gaps and all that, the gender issues, all these are issues that farmers have to deal with. So it's quite overwhelming, but what do you do? So, how do you decide on a good agricultural practice for a particular situation? You know, quite often farmers have resource concerns. Some have to deal with reducing erosion. Others have to deal with how do I prepare my land, you know, to make sure I have better yields. Others would have to consider, oh, how about rainfall? Do I need irrigation? Is my rainfall going to coincide with my crop development, you know? So those kind of things are issues that farmers are concerned about. The bottom line, they want to make a living on the land. So these are some designs on conservation agricultural systems. Most of it is manually driven, like you saw, and we have some animal, also some machinery that are being considered. So you have this big matrix. How did that change? It seems like it's running on the video. Right, okay. I'm sorry. So we have this matrix out here where they look at different options and combinations and permutations that could be applied. And each of these would depend on the resources that the farmers have available, their location. If you're in a very remote area, some of this may not be available to you. But, you know, seeds, for example, you know, how do you deliver seeds to the farmers in a rural village? I was born in a rural village in Africa, so I can understand that very well. Most of the meetings are held in big cities like here in Phoenix and far removed from the villages. So the farmers do not participate and the information doesn't flow to the farmers, even several years down the road. So those are some major challenges. And climate in Africa, we don't check the weather, but the technology is changing. The technology is changing. You can even verify weather in my village these days with a cell phone. So there's hope for the future. And we have small-scale farmers up to commercial farmers. So the kind of challenges they face are different depending on the availability of funds, finances, and also government policy, you know. So challenges of promotion and adaptation of, you know, good agricultural practices. You have promoting good agricultural practices. You know, they have packages that they market to farmers or they try to convince farmers to adopt. And one size fits all. Probably a good prescription is easy, but it doesn't quite work because all soils are not the same. All farms are not the same. The problems they face are not the same. Initial yield responses may be disappointing. Even with carbon sequestration, you don't see results in the first few years. It takes a while to build up, you know, fertility in the soil, depending on what inputs you're using. So my slide is going a lot faster than I can talk. You know. So constraints to adoption, access to labor. As in the U.S., most of the farmers in Africa are an aging population, so the young people are moving to cities for a better life. How do you convince them that they can make a living on the land? So inputs, mechanization, weed control, crop, livestock trader, I mean, all these problems are there. How do we solve them? These are challenges that we have to address, and I think that there is no shortage of knowledge as to how we can solve these problems. It's just how do we get the financing or the funds to go to Africa to help or other developing countries to help them with their food production challenges. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Charles.